talking.
When
tough.
You said when you hit me and was like, man, I was watching your old. When you said that, I was like, oh yeah, I gotta go with him. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of people don't even know. Yeah. A lot of people haven't even put that together that I'm the same person that was doing that. You know, that's doing what I'm doing. That doesn't doing like unless you've been following me for a while and like you've been like really a follower, then you know. But a lot of people I see on TikTok be like, man, is this the same dude that was doing the old man? Like,
I think a lot of people know you, bro. Like, and if they watch any type of content moving through their IG or anything like that, Mr. Mojo Brooks pops coming up. Through. Man, the Shark Tank. No jumper. Sharpest, coolest podcast in the world.
Yes, sir.
And today, I got a guy. I've been watching for a long time before I got on, man. You know, and even when a nigga would feel down through certain things, you know, I have to pick myself back up. I would catch one of your skits, whether it was the Mr. James and, you know, like that, bro.
That's dope.
It was dope to watch Mr. Mojo Brooks, man, for real. And just to watch what you bring to content, bro.
Yes.
For real, my nigga.
I appreciate that, bro. And way back then, you know, I'm going to tell you, when I was doing the Mr. James, I used to kind of feel like I wasn't really necessarily getting the recognition that I deserved from that. You know what I'm saying? So, to hear that coming from you, you know, that's a major plus because...
I mean, recognition, let's be honest. And I'm not saying people don't get... I mean, they'll get a million views, but on Instagram to get dinner a million likes.
Likes.
Like,
it's crazy.
That's a lot. Like, I know what it does for the content community. So I'm like, damn, for a nigga to do that independently, he's got nobody pushing behind him, nothing. You know?
Yeah.
And you did. The most recent one I watched you do was the Sniper Fit.
Okay.
I watched that one. And then I watched you do the collab with Jack is Funny.
Man, that's my dog, That's my dog. I'm going to tell you something. You know, I say this all the time. It's a new nigga every day. Yeah. But I'm telling you, dude going to be big, man. Dude funny, man. Like, when we came together, the chemistry not going to be there with everybody. But when me and him came together, I'm talking about instantly, as soon as the camera came on, it just, you know, it clicked. The ideas was coming together. I think, like I said, dude going to be big, man.
Well, before we talk about him and y'all dealings, I like, bro, the most recent one, it's like you don't, you never seem to fail. Like, it's like, you always come with something that one's up. Mr. James ran for a while. And if people aren't familiar with that one, he did a skit to where it was him playing the older trick. It was almost like Nate.
Off of Set It Off.
It was kind of like a Nate, like the way he did it.
Yeah.
And it was cold, bro, because, but you threw a twist to it, like the wide nose and the big face.
Yeah.
You know, he wasn't the most handsomest. You know what I'm saying? But he had the words for these little turds.
Yeah, and he had the money.
You know?
He had the money. He had what they wanted.
And I don't know, because I tried to research even further back than that, and I feel like that was one of the ones that really grasped everybody.
That's what broke me.
That's what I felt like where I found you.
Yeah.
You know
Mr. James, so it's crazy. So the first time that I had ever did Mr. James was like January 2017. And I was using a Snapchat filter. And I want to say I had did the first one and I was like, it had did good. Like, people was wanting more of it, but Snapchat had took the filter down. So I couldn't do it no more. And I want to say it was November 2017, they brought it back. And I'm telling you, like, I feel like things happen on time for a reason, because I had it in January. And then it went away. And then at that time, I was doing other stuff, but I was kind of like really focusing on my stand-up to get it strong, because I said, it ain't no point in me blowing up and then I can't get on stage. So the Snapchat filter was gone. It came back in November after I had, you know, went like 6-7 hard months of just straight stand-up, open mics. You know, I'm doing showcases and stuff. So November 2017, the Mr. James filter, you know, the filter comes back. And it was there for, like, I'm talking about, it never led, like, it had never went anywhere. So I was able to start doing it. And I'm talking about the first one out the gate. I remember as soon as I seen it on my phone, I was probably about an hour and a half away from home. And I was thinking about what would be the next video. And, just how I envisioned in my head, that's how I did it. I woke up the next morning, the video was at, like, 4.5 million views in less than, like, 24 hours, and I just ran with it. And I was able to do so much with Mr. James because it was character work. So when you got a character, you can put a character into any situation. And that's how I was able to keep that. Man, I ran that for a long time.
A long time. And yeah. I'll be real with you. I don't think for people like yourself, it's hard to, like you said, man, I thought about it. I woke up and I did that shit.
Yep.
It wasn't really hard for you,
right.
You know, to just kind of bring up some content that, like, hey, I think the people are like this.
I like this, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. They took a vibe to you.
Yeah.
That shit's cold right there, homie,
yeah.
For real.
Yeah.
It's not a lot of people have, everybody wants to have the stage presence, right? Or
right.
Be like, oh, I can get on, I can do that. What he
yeah.
does even better than him.
Yeah.
But I'm telling y'all, when y'all sit in front of cameras and y'all sit in front of lights and you yeah. know the world's about to watch this,
yeah.
that shit changes up the man. Hey, good luck.
Good luck.
It's not for everybody.
Listen, I just did an arena with, it was me, DC on Fly, Chico Bean, Jess Hilarious in Columbus, Georgia. And I, like you said, people think they can do it. Until you step out on that stage and you standing in the middle of 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 people, you know, it's you. It's just you. And it's all eyes on you.
Was that your first experience doing something like that?
No, that was, do you know what? That I want to say that might have been the biggest space that I've been in. Mm-hmm. But I've done like 4,000 seat theaters, 2,000
yeah.
seats. I got a 1,000 seater that's coming up I'm about to do. We got a 2,500 seater I'm about to do in Minnesota. So, and I'm really built for those type of stages, for those large audiences. Like, I'm built for that. Like, I write material. When I write jokes, oh, this gonna kill in a theater, or this gonna kill in an arena. And then I got stuff that I know, oh, this gonna kill in a comedy club. But, you know, I work so hard at just, you know, at both ends of the craft, the stand-up, and then I always try to keep the content as far as the skits and stuff. I try to keep it fresh and as relatable as possible, because if people can relate to it, they're going to like it.
Mr. Brooks, please tell us when you first thought about, you know, even doing some stand-up. Did somebody find you funny at a point? Did you feel like you believed in yourself? Like, I feel like I can make funnier jokes than a lot of these dudes.
It was so, man, I'm going to be honest with you. It wasn't nothing that I wanted to do. I always wanted to be famous. I just didn't know how, you know what I'm saying?
I just didn't know how.
I was like, I want to be famous, but I just didn't know how. I didn't know what my lane would be. And I guess the signs were always there. You know, when I was in fifth grade was the first time I seen the Kings of Comedy. And we went home from spring break, and I was able to recite Bernie Mac whole stand-up set to my classmates when we got back. I'm at the school doing his jokes, you know. And
shout out to the great,
to the great Bernie Mac. From the crib, too. Chi-Town represent.
Talk about it.
But he, you know, so even then in fifth grade, like, it was something that I liked. I always liked watching it, but I never, like, you know, being a comedian just became popular. You know, it wasn't always a thing that a lot of people wanted to do. It just now became a thing where everybody's trying to do it, or, you know, everybody, you know, putting their hand in it. So my sister-in-law, she used to be like, man, I used to, you know, tell them stories. I go to the barbershop, my barber, I would just tell them stories about stuff that I was going through.
The greatest conversations going on
at the barbershop.
Man. Knowing why you always think I keep my hair cut, man.
Man, I go once a week, man. It's therapy, man. And I just remember sitting there, and my barber was like, bro, you a comedian, man. Like, you need to take this stuff. You need to do it on stage. And I'm like, I ain't doing that. But I've never been, like, afraid of speaking in front of people. I've never been afraid of, you know, standing up and being, I've never been afraid of it. So, you know, one day I was like, man, you know, I was on Vine and I was watching these guys on Vine. And I was like, man, I could do this shit, man. I could do this. And I started doing it. And, you know, it probably, you know, when I first started off, you know, I was growing, you know, I was doing the typical stuff. You know, when we first came out, everybody was trying to, you know, what moms be like, what dads be like. That's kind of what I started off doing. And before I went into the Mr. James. So it's kind of like, you know, I kind of held on to the real until I was able to find what my identity was and who I was going to be, you know, as far as, you know, within the guidelines of comedy. And once I figured that out, then you got Mr. James. Then you got me at the Ring doorbell camera. Now I got the child support court skits going. I mean, I got so much stuff going right now.
But it's relatable.
Man, listen. I got some new shit about the pops.
Relatable. I got to, I agree with you. I agree with you to a large magnitude of when you say, like, you was watching people on Vine.
Yeah.
You know, and not even to get into myself, but to keep it about you, just to resonate with you. I think about, I'm like, damn, I was in Fresno watching Joe Rogan, a lot of JRE, and I would catch myself pausing it every time talking about it. And I'm like, damn, I could do this.
Yeah.
And then a year later, I found myself through here, homie.
It's just like, it happens. And it's not like, and it's not a diss to the people that was doing it.
No,
it was
just
like, you know what? Actually, it's like, thank you, because
thank you
showed me that it was possible. You showed me that it was a lane there, and I know what my capabilities are. So I'm watching like, oh, no, I could do this. And I know what's in my head. You know, I'm not going to say it's better than what you're doing, but I know what I got people going to like.
So you believed in yourself before anybody. Like, you knew. Yeah. You said, hey, man, I can do this.
I can do this.
I'm going to step up to the plate.
And I'm going
to
do it, yeah.
Because like you said, like, being a comic, like, there's not the because I love Def Jam.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved watching these things, man. You know, even when BET, man, they would push these things. Comic View.
Yeah.
Comic View was popular.
Man,
but I think it was for the up and coming. That's what I loved about it. Like, it had such a...
Because you never knew none of the people. You never knew none of them.
You had to see what the fuck it was.
Yeah.
You know, so to see now, it's like the only way you can get into being a comedian is if you already had some push.
Yeah.
I don't think that's cool, because there's a lot of starving comedians out here that would love to be in these doors, but when they go and talk to certain people, they're like, okay, well, let us get your analytics.
Yeah, how many followers you got?
How many followers you got?
I know so many dope comics, man, that go
sad,
through that.
Bro.
And it's hard. You know, here's the thing. It's hard for me, you know, because, you know, as all I can do is get on the game.
Yeah.
This is what you need to do.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? If you wanna do this, you wanna make this amount of money, you wanna get into these doors, look, this is what you need to do. And, you know, the internet is not for everybody. Everybody cannot. It's crazy, because the argument used to be that the social media, you know, comedians couldn't transition into being stand-up comedians. But nobody ever talked about how the traditional stand-up comedians that we all know and love, how some of them can't transition over and gain and grow a social presence. And now that the wave is gone, now that the wave is went, social media is dominating the comedy game. And it's like, you need this in order to do the other. So, well, you know, when I talk to people, it's kind of like, you know, I'm in a weird spot because I got the numbers. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to get into these clubs. I'm going to get onto, you know, a lot of these package shows with, you know, with D-Ray Davis and Corey Hope. I'm like, yeah, Corey, that's my dog.
We just both did, them niggas is funny.
Man,
shit,
we just
bro.
Did, all three of us was just on a show together in D.C. Last weekend. So
I mean, like Corey. Corey
is.
I watch his truth. Stuff, like, outside of the stand-up. And, like, the brother got knowledge.
Listen.
The brother brings some fucking knowledge.
I only had seen him on TV. Yeah. So we had never met. Like, last Saturday was our first time meeting. And I even after I got done performing, I went and sat out in the audience. Mm-hmm. And I watched him. Dude is brilliant. Genius. And a lot of people think maybe he's a little too rough. Maybe, you know, he's a little bit too forward. But that shit is real.
I do the same thing.
It's
and
real.
You're going to have people that are going to like it. Me and Corey are in the same, you know what I'm saying, same bracket when it comes to that. Like, of we tell the ugly truth.
The ugly truth.
It's, you know, we're unapologetic in the way that we speak.
We speak,
You know what I'm saying? So for him, I mean, he might have a couple of critics or a couple of haters.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure a lot of comics go through that regardless of the fact. But the ones that are there, we know.
Y'all know.
We know what's up. And same for you.
And it was real. Like, listen, when I listen to him talk and some of the stuff he say, it's real. He say a lot of stuff that other men are afraid to say. because they worried about how people gonna think about them. And anybody that can just can be unapologetically themselves, who they are, and speak what's on their mind, yeah. And have no regrets about it, I can fuck with that.
Well, 1,000%. I feel like you've been the same, especially with your content.
Yeah,
like, it's funny, but to be real, you show transparency in how far people are willing to go.
To go.
In certain things.
To go.
Waiting outside of a bitch mama house.
Yes, or, in a
you know what I'm saying? Like, that shit really happens.
Yeah.
I make jokes about it all the time and be like, man, some of these bitches, they know what it's like to deal with a nigga to hop out the bushes sweating. She ask him, why are you here and why are you wet?
Why are you wet?
Why are you breathing hard?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, this shit, it might sound funny, but there's people that have really went through.
Oh yeah,
that.
It's people that's traumatized behind yes. those experiences. And listen, yeah. I see it in my comments all the time. This video triggered me. You know, I see it all the time. This video triggered me, but it's real. And I think the light should be shined on that type of shit. Right. People should see it.
Have you ever had any videos that triggered you?
That somebody else did a trigger
yeah, because
me?
Obviously you, listen, you make a lot of content.
Yeah.
Your shit gets watched by the masses.
Yeah.
But, you know, you being celebrity and, you know, people knowing you.
Yeah.
You know, there's stuff that you like to watch.
Yeah,
there's
it
stuff
is.
That you might just walk through. You don't watch your own Instagram. You watch another one.
Yeah.
Even if you don't follow a lot of people, you're
you
still just
watching them. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You know what?
You
know, I'm not an easily triggered person, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. and because, you know, when you do comedy, first of all, anybody that does comedy and they does it well, they not all the way, your shit not all the way right up here. Like, you done seen some shit, you done been through some shit. Like, in order for us to laugh at some of the shit we laugh about, like, we a little bit crazy.
I feel like Dave Chappelle holds the crown right now. I'm talking about number one comedian, like, for the black, for the culture, for the black culture.
I'm gonna disagree.
Talk to me. What would you disagree in that? I mean, let's be honest.
I
with
think
you.
Dave is
Dave.
I think Dave is Dave. Dave is one of the GOATs. I think Dave is top three. I think top right now, like top of the game,
yeah.
is Kevin Hart. And I'm gonna tell you why. I'm gonna tell you.
Little guys stick to y'all sure know. Y'all stick together. I see what the fuck it is.
No.
Dave, I got your fucking back.
No, I
we
fuck with
pulling Dave. This shit. We can smoke a cigarette together and talk about it one
I
day.
I fuck with Dave, man. Yeah. Look, Dave, I fuck with Dave 1,000%. But I'm gonna tell, I'm just, this is the thing. Dave, what I respect about Dave come in, do the job, and then Dave disappear for a little bit. Come back. He always writing. He always got new shit. His specials are always good. I just, the thing about Kevin Hart is it's the body of work of everything that he does.
Yeah.
It's the movies. It's the series. It's all of the specials. The man got fucking workout clothes. He got a restaurant. I'm talking about as a entity in itself.
But let's be real. What I love about Dave Chappelle is he not only had his own skit show
mm-hmm.
that sold to the masses.
Yeah. Dave Chappelle, the reason why we able to do the shit we do now.
Let's fucking be honest.
So that's what I want you to understand. Like, I fuck with Dave.
Yeah, and I like how he's able to get intimate with crowds. He don't even like to do big ones. He likes to sit where everybody can kind of sit around him.
Yeah.
And not only hear the joke.
Yeah.
Feel the joke.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And those intimate crowds, that's why I like doing comedy clubs. You going to the comedy club and those people sitting up on you, you can make the show so much more personable to the people that's there. You know what I'm saying? You can bring them into the show. So I understand that. I like that. But it's something about when you do those theaters and those arenas, the roar of laughter that you hear comes with like an addiction that I can't even.
Let's be honest and let me level with you here.
Okay.
Let's compare Kevin Hart with Dave Chappelle.
Let's do it.
I'm not saying Kevin Hart didn't have to go through anything, but he came after when Dave Chappelle was bringing certain jokes, he really got some backlash.
Yeah.
Some bad things to where it made him up and move and people didn't even hear from him for a while.
For a while, yeah.
So you have to think about some of the things, and I'm not saying Kevin Hart, shout out to him, I'm not saying he ain't never went through anything.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at what Dave Chappelle had to go through, he had to face adversity. He had to go through what comedians do is they find that that brick wall, and either he's gonna go left and really go start telling some truth to bring some of the jokes, or he can get stuck and fall off. And I feel like Dave Chappelle, he didn't get stuck on that. Either you love him from what him being unapologetic about how he speaks. Let's be honest, his jokes are funny.
Yeah,
they're funny, bro. Yeah. But people take them so to heart because to them it's not jokes, it's truth.
It's truth. Yeah. Here's the thing: you can tell a joke that's the truth.
I thought that's what the funniest jokes were.
It is.
I'm just being honest. Look, I thought that was the funniest jokes. Right? Is when
it's the truth.
You find
because
some
if it's true, that means we relating to it. That means I've been through that. Or I know somebody that been through that. I know somebody that knows somebody that been through that. But the difference with and I love what you said. And they two different type of comics.
Yeah.
Dave Chappelle, he's gonna straddle that defense. He gonna step over the line. Whereas the Kevin Hart, that's not his lane. You know what I'm saying?
It's not his lane.
He don't go there. He gonna talk about relatable stuff. He gonna talk about his family. He gonna talk about different experiences and adventures he went on. He gonna talk about relationships, and that's okay too. And I think you kind of get the best of both worlds from the both of them.
What I love about you're right. Mm-hmm. And you're absolutely right. Like, Dave Chappelle reminds me of the guy that's man on the street walking with a cigarette.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to tell you some stuff that he's seen walking on the streets.
Yeah.
Just, he didn't have to be a gangster. He could have been a hardworking man. Yep. But every day he's got to walk through a certain neighborhood. Yeah. He's got to walk through certain shit. And he sees it, man.
And he speaks it. So I love that about Dave Chappelle. Like I said, I'm with you. I feel like him and Kevin Hart, I think they both at the top of the game. But the only reason why, I said Kevin, I just think it's just the body. It's just everything that he does. Like, he's always doing something. Kid cartoons, his voices in that. Like, he's just always doing something. And I think that's just the epitome of a hard worker. Not saying that Dave don't work hard. I know Dave work hard. Because Dave, I've never, you will see Dave go up and do a whole new set, and he just dropped a special, last week. So he work hard to write this shit. Yeah, it sells. So, like I said, I think it's just two different.
Number ones.
Yeah.
And Kevin Hart be number one.
Number one.
You know what I'm saying? And what I do love about Kevin Hart, to go and jump on that side, and, we'll keep it moving, but just to look at Kevin Hart, he does have a lot of accomplishments. He has liquor. He has
liquor,
certain
yeah.
things that people are really, he does movies. He does stand-up. He does a lot of different things.
He in the UK right now doing his tour. He doing his tour, overseas. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, he taking his material that he wrote here in America and
can
taking
we just
it over
face
there.
The fact that look, because we'll never get off of it. So I'm just gonna face the fact here.
They both at the top of the game.
That the short guys stick together. That the short guys stick together. I said it in the very beginning of the conversation.
Listen,
I'm gonna say it at the end of it.
My opinion is definitely
y'all dudes.
It's definitely biased because
y'all stand together.
No,
y'all don't leave each other smalls. Y'all get up to this fucking magnitude.
I don't think
those, leave it, bro.
Listen,
it's okay.
Listen to me.
We understand.
I'm
going
to tell you, I have a personal connection with what Kevin Hart went through to get to where he's at.
So you understand the story.
I understand his story.
Right.
And because I understand the story and what he came from and what he overcame to become who he is today, I respect that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I respect, and I'm not saying that Dave Chappelle didn't have a story or nothing like that, but Kevin's story.
They're probably going to hear this.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
Kevin's story definitely resonated with me.
Did we fuck up?
Nah, we good. We good. Dave gonna be like, that's that nigga's opinion, man.
Yeah. Well, we've talked about Kevin Hart. We've talked about Dave Chappelle and their stories. But how about Brooke's story and how you've came up and how you've had to face adversity through a lot of the challenges you may have to face?
Yeah, man, I came a long way, man. When I think about it, and I thought about this the other day, and it struck me that if I wasn't doing comedy, I don't know who I would be. You know what I'm saying? Where would I be?
Scary, isn't it?
It's scary.
It's scary, bro.
It's scary when
think
you
about
sit
that shit too.
Man,
I
if you think
lie.
About it, like, damn, like, Like, what would I, you know, where would I be? What would I be, you know, what would I be doing? And you, I see, you know, you date different women and you hear about a lot of the guys that they done dated and you just hear, you see some of the shit these dudes be out here doing and you be like, damn, like, I was a decision away from probably being like him.
I ain't gonna lie to you. I said in my first soft white underbelly, I'll keep it brief. Said in my first soft white underbelly, I don't want to think about what I wouldn't have been. All I can think about is what I am
right now. What I am right now.
For real, bro. And it's, I do sometimes think about it. I catch, you know, glimpses of it where I'm like, damn, it is kind of scary to know, like, because the unknown's always
shit
scary.
Say, you think about shit,
you
got to
roll with it.
You got to roll. You here now.
Mover. Be a mountain mover, yep. Bro. Be
you
a
hear,
mountain mover.
You here now. And so, you know, like I said, I had that thought. And, bro, you know, I just think about it, man. I grew up, came from the west side of Chicago. Mm. My parents, you know, still together, 38 years, still together. We grew up in...
I used to go to Taste Buds.
Yeah.
I used to go to Taste Buds.
You used to fuck Taste Buds?
On Madison.
Man, my my best friend's family owns Taste Buds.
Taste Buds is fire.
Yeah.
Chicago, man. That's
you get the Kool-Aid?
The best. For sure. We was doing that, man, years ago, man.
That's what's up.
Yeah, man, west side of Chicago, man. Yeah. Shit, man, shout out, man, rest in peace, man, King Bing, man, all them dudes, down there, for real,
I grew up in Humboldt Park, so... Growing up over there, you know, that was a Hispanic community. A lot of Latin Kings and stuff over there, Hispanic. That's where I grew up.
How was that for you? Damn.
Man,
Being a black man.
It was blacks over there.
I thought you was Puerto Rican.
They probably
played that shit off a couple times.
I dated the Puerto Rican women.
He come through the neighborhood, he trying to walk from school. Like, man, hey, man, hey, hey, man, yeah, man, hey, Bobby. Chill, Bobby. I'm taking my books.
Man, look.
I'm walking home. Like.
My dad was so plugged, man. Nobody ever, they ain't bother us, man. Like, because they knew who my dad was. But, you know, growing up over there, my parents, you know, they was just always helpful. So, you know, me growing up, I was the middle child. And, you know, I had cousins my age. They would let them come live with us. I had a nephew my age that came to live with us. So everything that I had growing up, I had to share. My clothes, my game, my room, everything that I had, like, I had to share. I felt like as a child, and I never asked for nothing. I never complained about it. That was just my life. And I had an older brother. I had a younger sister. And because they were the oldest, she was the youngest, they still kind of got, you know, they kind of got that special, you know, treatment to, you know, towards them. Whereas, you know, I was just the one, like, you know, I was just there. And it wasn't that I felt less loved or nothing like that. It was just much more like I just grew up sharing. Like, I grew up having to share everything. And then, you know, from there, I thought I was going to play football. That was short-lived. I caught a case when I was a senior in high school. They kicked me off the football team. Then after that, it was like, all right, what I'm going to do? I started promoting parties. I was a party promoter. Janky promoter. Wasn't making no money. You know what I'm saying? Wasn't making no money. I mean, we had a few. We had a few events that popped off that was like really like some legendary events, some legendary parties. Yeah. But outside of that, we had a lot of 30 people, you know, 20 people showed up. We had a lot of that. So, and I went from that and I was about to be a cop. And
whoa,
yeah,
let's indulge on that. Never had a man ever sit here and admit that to me. I know we done dug deep. Hold on, church, take the sign out of here. We don't need it. We're digging too deep, man. Church, what the hell going on, man? What you mean you was about to be a cop?
Look, this is the point that I'm gonna get to. So, I went to college. Now, I went to one of those college, like, you know, one of like Everest. Like, I went to a college like that, it was called Westwood College.
Yeah.
And you know, I studied criminal justice there. I got my degree. But by this time, I had already caught two cases by this time. They both were misdemeanors, but I caught two cases. So anything me trying to get into criminal law enforcement was going to be tough. So at this point, I'm just trying to do something because I need to figure out what I'm about to do with my life. And now I got a daughter on the way at this point. So... I was about to be a Chicago police officer. I went and took the test, polygraph test, drug test, all of that.
You know you ain't want to be that.
I didn't.
But finish the story, and I'm going to tell you why. It just came out.
Listen, he said, you know you ain't want to be that.
You ain't want to be, not Chicago.
No, I didn't. I didn't, not but, there. You know, it was like, to me, I was looking at it like, this a way out. like, I'm gonna make some good money. I'm gonna have
a way
some,
out, all right.
I'm gonna have some different.
There's a way out, all right.
But you know
that's
what?
That's all I'm gonna say.
The benefit, I would have got the benefits. I would have got all the benefits, and my daughter would have been straight. And that's all. At that point, that's all I cared about. So I was willing to sacrifice what I wanted to do with my life to make sure that she lived a comfortable lifestyle.
Right.
So I went through the whole process, and then I just stopped hearing from CPD. Like, they never sent the email to let me know when I was supposed to go to the academy, none of that. Fast forward, I started going viral. And then they reached back out. They was like, hey, you know, we want to bring you in. They sent me an email. The offer was like for like $85,000, me to go to police academy. At that time, I was collecting unemployment. I had got fired from my security job. I was collecting unemployment, and I was doing comedy.
Oh,
and
I was did nothing in the booth.
In the booth, yeah. I was a supervisor, though, so I had to do payroll and stuff. You know, I had to do little stuff. I had to do administrative stuff. But, yeah, and listen, I'm going to tell you something. Bro, if you look at it, and I'm going to tell you, you probably can do this. If you go back and look at your life and you look at everything that you did, it tied into what you are today. Because me doing security... Mm-hmm. Because I didn't do nothing all day, it made it easy for me to go home and do Mr. James videos when I got off of work. I was at work not doing nothing. Right now, videos all day.
All had its purpose.
Now, think about if I was working at Amazon moving boxes all day. I ain't got time to think about no video that I'm going to do when I leave here. So that set me up to sit down and really think about what it is you're going to do. Okay, I'm doing this comedy stuff. I ain't doing nothing at work. I'm writing these skits out. And I'm going home and I'm doing them. So I got fired because I had started going viral. They had seen the Mr. James videos. And I had did one at the job, and they was like, look, you either going to focus on this or you going to do your comedy thing. And the guy told me, man, I swear to God, I wish I could see this guy. He was like, you know, you're making good money here. He was like, you don't really think you're going to blow up doing comedy, do you? To my face.
I wish I could see him.
I wish I could see him.
He probably is a fan of Sharp Tank, No Jumper.
And if you see this, is this camera, what R. Kelly say, is this camera on me? Look at me now, bitch.
Hey, so, what'd you think about the, hey, I got to ask you, speaking of R. Kelly, us being black men, because I'm curious to know your fucking insight to this.
Oh, God.
What did you think about Sukiyana and Young Miami saying that they like to be peed on? Versus with R. Kelly being in, I mean, I'm sure they want to say he's in there for Mo, but sound like one of his fetishes was he liked to pee on bitches.
Yeah. Man, listen. It fucked me up, man, because Young Miami, oh, that bitch so bad to me, man. Yeah.
Beautiful woman.
Man.
What you think about that, man?
You know, I don't know, man. Why I don't know why they want to do that. I don't know. I don't know why they want to do. You piss on bitches?
R. Kelly do.
Listen, I had a chick actually do it before, and I was like, no, I ain't doing that. Like, I ain't doing that because I just, you just don't want to be known as the next dude that's been out here peeing on her.
Well, I say this. You ain't never peed on a bitch?
I ain't never did.
You're missing out. Hey.
It's like that. It's like you ain't fucking you for real.
I had a conversation with somebody the other day, all jokes aside. I had a conversation with somebody.
No, for real. Hold on.
Nigga,
did you pee on a bitch or not?
Did I pee on a bitch?
Did you pee on a bitch or not?
Man, I plead the fifth. my name Bennett, and I probably wasn't up in it. I don't know, church. It was out of my body. Like my nigga Kevin Gates said, I was out of my body.
All right, go ahead.
No, but we had a conversation the other day about the situation of
that's crazy.
Hey, and you know,
oh, like, you a wild boy. You a wild boy, man.
Hey, don't knock it till you try it.
All right. I feel like you gotta do everything once.
At least take a long, steamy sideways piss.
He don't know if he did it or not.
I wasn't even there. I was out of my body.
Yeah, out of body experience. But
all jokes aside, the only reason I brought it up, and it's been funny. Yeah, all right. Ha ha, Mikey.
He's dying
over
there.
No chuckling back there. You?
She's laughing.
All right. So, you know, all jokes aside, man, when you look at it, man, like they tried to put these type of allegations on certain people, like, you know, R. Kelly and him saying he peeing on bitches. But you got chicks that are as beautiful as Young Miami. You know what I'm saying? And Sukiyana. Sukiyana is just her. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? How she is.
Yeah.
These girls admitted to like they
hit,
like
though.
Being peed on. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And I heard somebody say, well, how about, you know, how old were they when they did? Man, you never know if they liked it from young. You don't know
you
what
don't
chicks
know.
Were on, man. You just you can't sit there and try to like pinpoint that as like, oh, he likes
he
to.
He introduced them to
he
that.
He introduced them.
Yeah,
no,
yeah,
man,
yeah.
Because you got badass chicks that have made it through the rap game and, or they have careers that are admitting that they like that.
Being peed on.
Like, they like being peed on. So you cannot sit there and try to knock.
Let me ask you this, though.
Talk to me.
Let me ask you this, though. Because a lot of people don't talk about this, though.
Come on. Let's
is it a crime it. To pee on a bitch?
No.
So you no. So you shouldn't.
You can't show me a law
that says it's not a law.
I love making content.
And if a bitch act, if she asks for it,
straight up.
Now peeing on a bitch without her consent is different. But if she asks for you to pee on her, that's you ain't broke no law.
I look at it like this. You know, bitch could say she don't like to get peed on, right?
Right.
But bitch, what if you squirt on him? Is he supposed to feel the same way?
That's pee too.
Should he feel the same way? I'm just saying, should he not want to fuck with you anymore?
You know what though?
Right.
I like the bee squirt.
Right.
Though. I like that. You don't like that?
Feel like you did your job.
Yeah.
Yeah. Feel like you did your job.
And that shit coming up out of
so
there.
So why the bitch feel bad when she might catch a little bit of psss?
That's because that ain't got nothing to do. That ain't got nothing to do with her job. Nigga, you just didn't go pee before you came in the room.
You just had to go piss.
You had to go pee and you stayed right there.
I'm fucking hate this interview,
you trying to make it like it was the same. No, it ain't the same. You had to go pee.
I'm just trying to look at it, right? Because I'm like, damn, okay. Bitch could say, like, you know, I ain't like him really pissing on me.
Right.
But bitch, you squirted and pissed on him. Can he feel the same way this point? If that's not what he likes, bitch, you better hold your pee just like you told that nigga to hold
his
pee.
A lot of them don't tell you that it's about to come out.
So, bitch, is he supposed to tell you?
But his.
I mean,
not telling her though is wild. Just standing up.
That is wild.
Just standing up. And she laying there, and you just start pissing.
What if you can't make it to the bathroom?
Pissing on her is still wild. Like, you could have pissed anywhere. Pissing on her. Like, now you're doing it because that's what you're going to do. You got to ask. If you ask and she say, listen, I had a chick say, like, she was like, she wanted to get in the shower and she wanted me to pee on her. And I didn't. Only reason why I didn't do it is I didn't have to pee.
You know why? You know, I think a lot of chicks say that's fucking hilarious, by the way, that you would have done it, but you didn't do it because you didn't have to,
I didn't have to pee.
Piss. But there's some chicks that, I'm going to be honest with you, like in a sex setting, and you see it everywhere. Like they like to be degraded in a way, in a good way.
Yeah.
I don't know if that makes any sense. Like,
yeah,
like to feel, because you know what it is? People like doing stuff that you know you're not supposed to do. And I said this in an interview earlier with a young lady. I'm like, that's what makes it taboo.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's what they like about it. They know it's wrong, so they do
it. So they do it. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So can we really blame R. Kelly in the sense here, homie? Let that man go.
I feel
free
like
that
this.
Man, bro.
I feel like this, man.
Parents knew.
I don't think the... I don't really.
He's Chicago native, right?
I am. I don't believe
no,
that.
No, he, but R. Kelly's Chicago
yes,
native.
Yes, I don't believe that. I don't think that he did everything that they said he did. And I don't, like I said, a lot of stuff that they was deeming as crimes, like him telling them that, you know, they had to look down and not look at other men, that's not a crime.
Look how they did a Godfather of comic, of, you know, just being a comic and true in his prime and his reigns.
Bill Cosby.
Come on, bro. Like, we got to look at things like this. Yeah, I know it's different because R. Kelly is R&B singer.
Yeah, he's R&B.
Was set to be an opera singer, but got into
R&B.
And then you have Bill Cosby, a comedian, America's Dad.
Dad, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Everybody watched him. If you had anything, like, I get it's different today, but when you was coming up, man, like, Bill Cosby and them was everything.
Was
man.
Everything. Like, yeah. No, I know. I used to watch the Cosby Show. Yeah. I mean, you know, the only thing with Kells is this. And I feel like we have to say that we do have to acknowledge this. it was some underage activity going
which
on.
Which wasn't right.
Which wasn't that. But that was wrong.
But what made it even more horrible and why I say let him out, and this is the parents knew about
they
it.
They knew about it, yeah.
So if he's sure. going to be locked up, let's lock that's the parents up.
Yeah, they knew about
their
it.
Their asses should be in jail right along with him. That's all I'm saying.
My thing is my thing is this, bro.
Money's a motherfucker.
And we can go to the later parents. Let's go to the parents that was on the documentaries.
Yeah.
Bro, we all heard what Kels had did back in the day.
Talk that shit,
we
bro.
All heard about
what
it.
What happened?
I'm a father, bro. I'm a me father. Too. I got a 6-year-old daughter, bro. My daughter decided she want to be a singer. If my daughter would have came to me and said, Pops, R. Kelly want to help me take my music career to the next level, I would have told her, we good. We good. If I cannot be there every step of the way, if I can't be there, then you're not going. How y'all was letting these kids just go off and be with them by itself because the music, man, that's bullshit.
That's bullshit.
Y'all heard, You heard what happened.
Yes.
Fuck that he was acquitted. We all knew that when he got acquitted that he got lucky. He had got lucky. We knew that. If anybody seen that tape, did you see the tape?
From I back saw in there? Some of it.
Yeah, I saw the tape. We all knew that was him.
We all knew that was him.
We all knew that was him.
Facts.
Dave Chappelle did a whole skit on it. Piss on you. If Dave Chappelle
that,
wasn't...
Which was on the Chappelle
was
show.
Was on the Chappelle
that's
show.
That's real.
Yeah.
That's real as fuck.
So you had that's all crazy. That stuff going on. Like, we all knew. Like, that's what it was. So there's no way my daughter would have been able to come to me and say that I'm about to go to R. Kelly's studio. He about to help me take my music career to the next. No, hell no. No. Fuck no.
I think your fans are going to love to see you like in this mode, like I'm just talking about some real shit and your output to this, man.
Yeah.
Like, because I looked at it the same way. That's the only reason I say R. Kelly should be let out is because the parents knew. They never knew, okay, cool, yeah, things happened the way they were supposed to happen, but these people knew about
they
it.
Knew
and
about
if
it.
They knew about it, I feel like they're just as guilty as him.
Because what happened is like, as soon as, R. Kelly broke, you know what I'm saying?
Can't pay no more.
Bro, I'm just trying to figure out how y'all charge them with racketeering. Mm. How did y'all charge the man with racketeering? They think that's what they think racketeering is? That's crazy. I feel like, you know, here's the thing. If y'all going to charge them with having sex with underage girls, I'm cool with that. Charge them with that.
Yeah.
Racketeering, y'all going to charge them like he in a mob? You know, like he had some type of real, they tried to make it seem like this shit was strategically set up.
Right,
and
right.
I don't think it was like that. I think he was just seeing girls that he like, hey, tell her to come here.
Look at Aaliyah. Why are people like forgetting about that? Her parents, niggas signed consent for him.
And they knew she was, and these parents that let their kids go with him, they knew he was married to Aaliyah. She was 15, 14. They knew that.
Facts.
They knew that. So here's my thing. You can't say you didn't know that shit was on the news. You know what I'm saying? I knew about it. And the parents older than me, I knew about it. So my thing, like I said, the parents, for people to sit up and be like, oh, well, you got to understand it was R. Kelly. That's exactly the point of why I wouldn't have allowed my daughter
facts
to go there.
I wouldn't have.
I wouldn't allow her to go there. And if you was worried about your daughter being rebellious and going by herself, it was easy to nip that shit in the bud. Like, hey, Mr. Kelly, hey, this ain't it with my daughter. You know what I'm saying? If you think you're finna be working or seeing my daughter, you know what I'm saying, I ain't there, you know, we'll get the proper, you know, shit involved, you know what I'm saying, to let you know that this not gonna be one of those. So I just feel like the parents, you know, one of the parents was like, oh, I didn't want my daughter to be rebellious and she going to see him and we don't know. Okay, so she was going to see him, and you do know. Mm. I just feel like I'm with you. I lock everybody up.
Lock everybody up.
Fuck it.
We'll get off that. Hey, homie, I really want to talk about, like, man, what made you think of the Miss Jackson skit where you came up, man, in a sniper suit? I got to know about this, because that motherfucker, listen, for the viewers that don't know, this motherfucker went viral. I watch a lot of content on Instagram,
mm-hmm.
and it's rarely, even Instagram will post people, and I've rarely, I'm not saying they don't go up, but I don't see like just a million views or a million likes.
Likes.
This means, man, there's a, I can only imagine what the numbers were, the back view of the back office.
Yeah.
What even made you come up with that, man, even before you linked up with Jack is Funny and got in a car with him about it?
So the ghillie suit really came to me one day. I was just, so I had already been doing like the ring videos at the door trying to get my girl back.
Yeah.
And I was like, and I'm one of those people that I'm always thinking like, how can I top that? What I just did? What can I do to top that? And I was sitting at my mom's house because I shot that video at my mom's house. So I'm sitting there and I'm looking and I'm just looking at the trees as I'm thinking. And I was like, damn. I went on Amazon and I typed in grass suit, you know, camo suit, and it popped up. And I'm looking at the trees, I'm like, man, if I'm blending in and I just pop out of nowhere. I said, the fucking dialogue in the video don't even matter at that point.
Right.
Just the fact that I got this fucking suit. The fact that I got this suit and I could just pop out with this bitch on, I say that's gonna be genius. I went right on Amazon. I ordered the shit. I mean, I was
the day fucking genius,
bro.
Like, bro,
the day that shit came, I'm talking about. I was right over there, and man, it's, I mean, after I shot it, I did it in like maybe one or two takes, and I said, when I looked at it, I said, "This the one."
To do it in one, two takes, and though you saw it. That's
I said,
hitter.
This the one. And when Snoop Dogg posted it, I mean, some of everybody, D.L. Hughes, I mean, it was like.
D.L. Hughes, it was, man, shout out to him, man. That's now you speaking.
Yeah.
You speaking right so, now. Hey, real shit. That's real
when all of them like started posting, I was like, but it was just, and I'm looking at it, and what I like most about it was something that had never been done before. It was something that the internet had never seen before. It was innovative. Like, people ask me all the time, man, where the hell you get that? Where you get that suit? They don't even know where to get the suit from. They wouldn't even know where to get the suit from. I got the shit off Amazon, man. Shout out to Amazon, man. You can get anything off of there.
You can fucking anything off Amazon, man, for real.
That's how I came up with that, man, and yeah, like, I ain't gonna lie to you, man. When I was at Soldier Field last night, man, it was all different types of people.
I was worried that you wasn't gonna come.
I was coming.
Because I went, listen, I texted this nigga this morning, right, Mikey? I said, hey, man, because he hit me up a few days ago and was like, we still good? I said, yeah, we still good, but I didn't know if Laura sent him the media kit. So I hit him up this morning and my text didn't go through.
I was on a plane.
I said, what the fuck going on?
I said, I
just talked to this nigga, homie. And I'll go to your Instagram and I see, okay, he was just over there while the draft and everything was going on. So he was on Soldier Field.
Yeah.
He was over there while they taking place for the draft. I said, oh, man, this nigga ain't coming.
I was coming, bro. I ain't that type of nigga, man.
Yeah,
if I say I'm coming, listen, if I say I'm coming, bro. I feel like in this industry, in this business, the only thing that you got is your word. I don't give a fuck how much money you got, who you know, who your friends with, what house you live in, what kind of car you drive. What is his word? I told you I was coming. When the plane landed and I saw your message, I was like, he probably thought I was on some bullshit.
Yeah.
But yeah, I normally get the Wi-Fi when I was on the plane, when I'm on the plane, so that I still can communicate with my people.
You felt like flying cheap today.
I just went to sleep.
You didn't want to pay for the Wi-Fi.
I was tired. You know, you just said you seen me last night.
Yeah, you was.
I was tired, so I got up early
this
morning.
You did jump the flight.
And I jumped the flight, and I slept all the way here. I woke up. We was getting ready to land. And then the messages started coming through. And that's when I text you, like, oh, I just landed. Yeah, I'm coming. I just landed.
He's like, I'm 9 minutes away.
Yeah.
Yeah, took 30.
Yeah, but no, I was like 17. But listen.
You're on black folk time.
I'm
on that, too.
I had
Trust
to stop
me.
At the hotel, drop my luggage off. If I knew y'all were here
tonight. You never told me none of that,
Yeah,
though.
I did. If I as long as you knew I was coming, I was like, look, he just didn't know I'm coming.
I ain't getting no one play by play to where, look, I'm dropping off my luggage.
He called me and everything. I told him I'm 9 minutes away. He called me, Mojo, where you at? I said, man, I just told you I was 9 minutes away. He like, all right, we waiting on you. He said, we ready to get this thing started. Man, well, yeah, I'm on my way, man.
I ain't gonna lie to you before we get out of here because I want to explain to you. I've been looking to, I think it's funny, bro, because I want to put together like a mega panel.
Mm-hmm.
Of like people that I know, right? I'm talking about like 12, 13 mics,
mm-hmm,
of everybody coming together. Like, yeah, people that I know, OnlyFans chicks, and they got their followings. And, yeah, you know, you got the comedians. You, yeah, got everybody that have moved through the social media light.
Yeah.
I want to put together almost of kind of like a super view.
Yeah.
That's a pay-per-view. Of everybody that you want to see in one room.
Yeah.
And we all sit down. I've been doing interviews, Church. I'm like Tony Stark, my nigga. I've, yeah, been looking for my Avengers.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
I've been going through the list, Church.
Yeah.
Now, that'd
be dope.
For something crazy. I love the interviews. Like, yeah, I love this one right here because, yeah, I'm like, okay, I can. Mojo gonna bring some energy to it. Yeah. I come sit him down with us.
Yeah.
Put him with some OnlyFans chicks.
Yeah. I'm gonna show out with them. I love them. I love them, boy. I love them.
Tell them, Church. Let me tell you something.
I love y'all. Everything y'all do. For real. My credit card people called me the other day. Was like, we just want to verify this charge for OnlyFans. That was me. That was me.
You ain't got to mention no names. Have you ever subscribed,
yes,
to somebody's OnlyFans?
Yeah, to yes. Yeah. Sometimes that's how that's the only way you can fuck them. You gotta subscribe.
You're not a virtual fucker, are you?
Yeah, I subscribe. What I do is I subscribe, yeah, and I be like, bitch, I noticed you weren't answering them DMs on Instagram, so I came over here because I know you checking these. You know what I'm saying?
Turd.
So
that ghillie suit shit was real.
Man, listen, I'm getting what I want. If I want it, I'm coming to get it.
I'll give you a phone call.
Yeah.
And tell you, man, right of your line.
Let's do it.
Tell you come down.
Let's do it.
Got some bitches.
Let's do it.
Got some other comedians.
Let's do it.
Some other social media entertainment.
Bro, you got me at the bitches. We all sit down. Once you got the bitches here, that don't even.
I guess that's all that matters.
That's all that matters.
And the truth, don't need no support. The Sharp Tank. No jumper. Sharpest, coolest podcast in the world. Hey, man. Hey, Cindy. Yeah. You know, I taught you this before, baby. You ain't never held a pistol before. But do me a favor. Shoot us out the motherfucking gym.